We're going to be working with the 119th Psalm this morning. That's where we are. And we're making our way through the Old Testament. And this is pretty much the middle of the book. This is the longest psalm. This psalm is an acrostic. It works through the Hebrew alphabet. And each section, each verse begins with that letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Doesn't do us a lot of good in the English here. We lose that part of it, but it's an interesting study in the Word of God, and every verse has something powerful to say about the Word of the living God. And so we'll read this morning verses 1 through 8, and I'm going to be talking to these two young ladies. Are they in the house, Dineda? Are they here? Yes? Yes, there they are. Are those cousins or just neighbors and friends sitting there beside them? Okay. All right. Well, we're going to be talking to them about the Word of God today. Because when they go to their school, if they go to a public school, it won't be allowed that the Word of God is read to them and taught to them there. And in places of public interaction where taxpayer dollars are involved, they're not going to be allowed to hear about the Word of God. There won't be any state-sponsored representation of the Word of God in their lives. I'll go further with this. They'll walk into a lot of church houses, and at the house of God, the Word of God has been set on the side for seminars on success and discussions about how to achieve your life's potential. I want them to achieve their life's potential, but I've got a really narrow view of that, and my view tells me, according to the Word, that it all begins with the dictates of the Word in the kingdom of God. Well, praise the Lord. They're going to go a lot of places in their life where the Word of God will be distorted, it'll be twisted, it'll be challenged, it'll be disallowed. But I want them to know today that their purpose in life is to serve God, is to know Him, and to please Him. And we're going to open up the Word and talk to them about that today. And I'm glad they're in the house. And if they start yelling and screaming, we'll just pretend they're amening the Word of God, okay? Babies making noises don't bother me. It's adults. That are distracted and being silly in the house of God. That bothers me. The children are just going to be children. I'm glad they're in the house. I'm glad we're not in a house full of old, dead, old people. Now, if you're old, I don't have anything against you, but got to have new life in the house. Praise God. So, to Jalen and JC this morning, Psalms chapter 119, and this is the A in the Hebrew alphabet that's being worked on through these first eight verses. Would you say, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. And let's give praise and thanks to God for His Word today that is forever settled in the heavens. Oh, that sounds a little bit like somebody hit a 20-foot putt. You need to give God praise for His Word. Ah, there's nothing going to raise you up out of a grave but the Word of God. There's nothing that's going to keep you through this life but the Word of God. We thank you, mighty God, for your Word forever settled in the heavens. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. We appreciate the presence of God in the house today. And if I encourage you to open your mouth and to participate, what you're doing as the Word of God goes forth is you're not just a spectator or a critic or a connoisseur or a judge, but rather when the Word of God goes forth, you're saying, I believe that. That's what I need in my life. That's what I think. Amen means my heart says, let it be so. You don't go to that stadium in Tuscaloosa or that stadium in Auburn, or you don't go to those little cracker box basketball gymnasiums and find a bunch of people sitting there like this. Not unless they're losing. And then they just get up and go home. That's what you make me think of when you sit like this in church. You're losing. You're losing. You're not interested. You're detached. Your side's losing. But what they do is when their team is winning, they're on their feet. They've got their voice lifted. They go out and buy special clothes and pom-poms and noisemakers. And they say, that's my side. I believe that. My heart is engaged in that. They paint one side of their face one color and the other another. And they think you're strange for acting like this on Sunday morning. And they're acting that way about things that in a year, who's going to remember? And you're acting this way about things that in eternity, this is all that's going to matter. If you can't get excited about an empty tomb and a God that loves you enough to come down from heaven and be your sacrifice, well, praise God. So to Jalen and JC this morning, want to talk to them about the Word of God. And here we enter into the almost the exact center, not quite, but almost the exact center of the Word of God. And it's like this psalm and this, the longest of the chapters of the Bible, is placed right in the middle of it all to herald the Word of God. And it's reminiscent of what they did when they established the tabernacle and God gave them the Word of God. They housed it in the house of God and it was planted in the center of their encampment, and everybody pitched their tents around that tabernacle tent, and the last thing they saw at night was that Word of God, the house of the Word of God, and the first thing they saw in the morning was that house of God where the Word of God was. And so God planted it there as a central reminder that God has to be the core of your life, and your first thoughts and your last thoughts need to be connected with the kingdom and the Word of God. Well, praise God. Now, I don't know what these babies are going to do. I want them to achieve. I want them to grow up and be brilliant. And I know you already think they're brilliant. You're thinking they're laying there slobbering and spitting up and making noises. And you think, how brilliant. You think it's cute. And they look, most babies look a little bit like Nikita Khrushchev. No, yeah, see, you're... They're cute. They're wonderful. But they look like a mix between Winston Churchill and J. Edgar Hoover sometime, especially when they start getting really fat. They got one of those studious looks on their face. All they need is a little fedora on, and they'd just be perfect. You know. But we're on board with you. We think they're wonderful, too. And we want them to achieve. We want them to be bright. And we want them to be socially adept, and we want them to have friends, and we want them to be fulfilled in every season of their life. We're on board with you. We want that to happen. But I'll tell you, from the Word of God and in this house today, I want their first thoughts to be thoughts about the kingdom of God. I want them to grow up clapping their hands before they know what they're clapping them about. I want them to grow up. Oh, and you know what? Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a little child. You watch these babies. They'll walk around, hallelujah, before they learn how to talk real good. They're talking in tongues. They're hallelujah, and they're baptizing their babies in the bathtub. First thoughts need to be about God. And last thoughts, not only when they shut down the light at night, but when it's time for someone to shut down the light and shut down the shop and close down the life and have that funeral service, I want their last thoughts to be, I've been a faithful servant of the Word of God. And I'm about to step into the payday. I'm about to step into the promise. This has been core. This is not, this living for God business is not a part of my life. This is the centerpiece of my life. Now, you got to hear this. I love my wife, but my wife and I, we don't have a guarantee that we're going to walk this whole journey together. I love my children, and I would fight anybody and anything for my children's sake. But we don't have any guarantees how far we'll walk through this earthly walk together. I'll tell you, but there's a God and there's a word and there's a promise that's going to be with me from the first breath I take to the last breath that I take. You're going to go some places in this life where they wheel a gurney and they take you to a place and Brother Bert puts you to sleep back there and your mommy can't go with you and your daddy can't go with you and your friends are not there and your bank account doesn't matter. But I'll tell you, it sure is good to have a God and a host of angels who go back into that area with you. Somebody say praise the Lord. And when I walk down that last valley, and I'm about to lay hands on my reward, I want my last thoughts to be about the kingdom of God. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. At the tabernacle, the things of God were the center of Israel's life. Israel lost out with God. They have wandered for 2,000 years. God recently has called them back to the land, ironically, by the power of his word, because his word declared they would be scattered. And his word declared they would be regathered. But their scattering and their destiny was a result of their aversion to the word of God. And it ceased to be the center of their lives. But they had choice. And they chose to walk after their own desires. Praise God. Praise God. The word of God, in that setting, as they came out of Egypt, they were a bunch of slaves. They had built the treasure cities of Ramses, and they had served Pharaoh for 400 years. They were not a nation. They didn't have a civil code. God gave them everything that they needed to become a people in the Word of God. Told them how to come in before God. Told them how to interact with one another. Told them what their personal life should be like. How to go about the business of marriage and raising children, and how to come before God and what gifts to bring, and what to do when you failed in your life, and what to do when you've offended your brother or you've caused injury, and how to regard poor people and orphans and widows. And God gave them everything they needed for an instant society and culture, and they became the people of God. This is what you need. The psychologists can't do this. The cultural relativists can't do this. The great institutions of learning can't do this. Those babies need the word of God down in their heart from the time they're old enough to hear it and understand it. They need the word of God down in their heart. Somebody say praise the Lord. This will define you as a person that is pleasing to God. Nothing else really matters. You can be built out of hand, and you can be built helter-skelter. You could just be the result of what happened to you out on the street, and as a result of the things that you accidentally ran into in life. Some people develop that way. They're just an accidental personality. But if you want to build somebody from the ground up as an individual that will live for God and please God, you do it by the word of God, by his precept, his statute, his rule, his law, his commandment. So God raised up Israel. Took him 2 years there at the foot of Sinai. He brought them out into salvation in one night. But he made them a people with some potential to stand. It took him 2 years with the word of God. We live in a day of tremendously superficial Christianity. Okay, I'm saved. I got that out of the way. I got the card in my pocket. And I'm going to live my life, and I don't need it till I die. That's a superficial Christianity. But you need an encounter and a romance with the word of God. Praise God. He built them from the ground up by the word. It is amazing to me. I have lived in the generation, perhaps the greatest moral and social cultural decline that our country has ever seen in its brief history. All great cultures decline at some point. Typically, it's after the military period and after the settling and after in the days of affluence when attention becomes focused on self. That's when a culture or a society declines and the individual becomes more important than the union, and the individual becomes more important than the family, and the individual becomes more important than the country. And self-focus and being self-absorbed is one of the most dangerous spiritual activities you can be involved in. But in the 60s, America formally and officially rejected the word of God and prayer in its schools. And do you know, in the early 60s, almost anywhere in this country, you didn't have to lock your doors. Little boys and little girls could ride their bicycles in any neighborhood in this country almost, and you didn't have to worry about them at all. And we've come a long, long way. We are so far advanced before those old, compared to those old backward Bible days. They were so backward and so stupid back there, dragging their families to church, telling people you need to stay married for the children's sake, telling people that you need to fight for that marriage and stand up, that that institution's worth fighting for. But now they've taught them it's okay, and they did, but they didn't tell them that your second time around, your incidence of divorce doubles, and your third time around, your incidence of divorce will double again, and your life progressively with blended families tends to get more and more miserable. Nobody tells you that. They just tell you, hey, it's your life. You need to get out. Don't worry about the consequences. The other people. Just go. There's somebody out there that'll love you for your wonderful self. Yeah. And America's coming apart at the seams, and it won't be the Islamics, and it won't be the nuclear powers outside our borders, but we're rotting from the inside because we've turned our backs on the word of God. That's true nationally. That's true socially. It's true in a collective cultural sense, and it's true individually. And just as sure as that's true, if you want to get better nationally, you return your heart to God and to the word of God. You want to get better socially, you return your heart to the word. You want to get better in your family, you turn back your heart to the kingdom of God. And if you want to get better as an individual, you turn your heart back to the things of God. Come on, you can get the education, you can make the money, you can build the business, you can have a success. But if your life falls apart, I'm going to diagnose you this morning and tell you you've left the premise of the word of God. Jeremy, tell these babies it's the word of God that they need. I saw you the other day. I was stuck in Christmas traffic in Trustful, and you were standing on your balcony with one of the babies. And I'm stuck in traffic, so I'm thinking about you. And I'm wondering what deep thoughts you're thinking out there with that baby. And you might have just been thinking, look at those fools stuck in the traffic. But if you ever stand out there on a starry night and you hold them and you think about them, I want you to lift up your eyes above the hubbub and all of the man-made structures and all of the man-made turmoil and look up at those pristine spots of light that he put there by his word. He just said, let there be. And they were. I want you to think about that. And when you think about your children, think in ultimate terms. The rest of this is just minutia in life. But ultimate terms, there's a God in the heavens. He put the stars in their places. He's the one that breathed life into you and into your babies. We've got to do business with him. The questions are, how can I please him? How can I serve him? What does he want with my life? How can I walk and fulfill my potential in the kingdom of God? And the answers to that, you can be stirred by a starry night. And you can be provoked by watching a sleeping baby in its crib. But the place you find those answers is in the Word of God. That's where you're going to find the ultimate answers to life. That's where you're going to find how you want to build those babies. You want to build them around the Word of God. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. I want you to know there's nothing in your life or in your culture that can't be helped or strengthened or bettered by a baptism with the Word of God. Everything begins and ends with the Word of God. Even people that deny God and deny the Word of God, their lives, their very heartbeat, everything they are has been determined by the Word of God. And they're like a little cosmic speck standing there under the towering evidence of God and his creation. And they're shaking their fist and they're saying, I don't believe in you. And it's pathetic. Because there's a star sitting there, just one star saying, there's a God. There's a God. There's a great God. There's a wonderful God. And there's billions of stars. There's a chorus up there saying, everything begins and ends with God. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And he begins to tell us that the Spirit of God overshadowed that deep, began to move on that deep, dark, untapped potential. And then God speaks. It begins with God and the moving of his Spirit. But then God speaks. Everyone say, God speaks. The Word of God. I want you to know what you are, what your life is. Your life is that, your hopes, your potentials, that they are that dark, unformed, deep of potential. And nobody can say how deep your potential is. But I'll tell you this, it is the moving of the Spirit of God and the unleashing of his word on you that will bring forth your potential. Because when God spoke, light broke forth, and then land began to emerge, and then living things began to populate, and the world began to explode with life, and potential came forth in powerful ways because the word of God was loosed. And you want to loose the potential in your life. I want you to know you may have avoided this. This may have been something that somebody told you had no power, just some old ritualistic religious thing. But I want you to know the potential of your life is in the power of the Word of God. Praise God. Everything begins and ends. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, by faith we know that the worlds were formed by the word of God. If you could fly out there, there's nothing holding them up. There's nothing positioned under them. There's no strings. There's no wires. They are there by the word of God. First chapter of Colossians, the writer Paul tells us, by him all things consist. All things were made by him, and by him all things consist. He is the Colossians effect. He is that holds it all together. If your life is falling apart or your family is falling apart, I want you to know there's a power in the Word of God that can hold you together and hold your family together and bring your mind back together. Praise God. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Everybody say, everything begins with God. Everything begins with God, and everything ends with God. Revelation chapter 19 and in verses 11 through 13. And I saw heaven open. This is at the end of things. And a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. This is what people are going to see at the battle of Armageddon. This is what Israel's going to see, and this is what those enemies of Israel will see. And a white horse, and he that sits on him is called Faithful and True, and he judges in righteousness, and he makes war, and his eyes are as a flame of fire, and on his head are many crowns, and he has a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he's clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and that's indicative of his sacrifice at Calvary, and his name is called the Word of God. Everybody say, his name is called. It's called the Word of God. I'm telling you, everything begins with the Word of God, and everything ends with the Word of God. And the Word of God needs to be at the core of it all. It ought to be Word in the morning when I get up, and Word in the midday, and Word in the middle of my relationships, and Word in my business, and Word in my leisure time, and Word in my relationships with others. Praise God. Jeremy and Danita, they need to hear that the Word of God has a principle and a construct for every major relationship and all of the things that they're going to be involved in their lives. The Word of God is a mine that's filled with precious treasures for them. Praise God. If we continued reading in Revelation, we would come to the 20th chapter at the white throne judgment, and the books are open. And those books are one, the book of life, and the other, the word of the living God. And every man was judged according to his works. Not by his belief, not by his love, not by his faith, but every man's judged according to his works out of the books. It's a simple process. We're going to be judged according to what God told us to be and God told us to do. Praise God. They need to know, Danita, that it doesn't matter what their friends think. It matters what thus saith the Word of God. It doesn't matter what the culture says, because when you really serve God, you're always going to rub your culture the wrong way. You'll always be hated of the world. You take a stand in the Word of God, and they're going to tell you that's silly. That doesn't matter. Don't you see us? We're religious and we're holy, and we don't live like you live, and we don't believe like you believe. And you'll always, when you take a stand in the Word of God, rub your culture the wrong way. Ask Jesus. Ask the 12. Ask the first generation church. You'll always rub your world the wrong way. But tell them that doesn't matter. Tell them, stand up for what thus saith the Word of God. Because this life is like a vapor. This life is just a moment in time. It'll be over in a heartbeat. But there's coming a moment when I'm going to stand and be judged by the Word of God. And he's going to ask me the question, why didn't you obey my word? Well, because my mom and my daddy didn't teach it that way. Why didn't you obey my word? Because my culture didn't believe it like that. We had moved on. We got more sophisticated than your word. We didn't think all that was necessary. We made your word culturally relevant. The questions at the white throne judgment are going to be amazing. Why didn't you get baptized in Jesus' name? Everybody in the book did. Why didn't you receive the Holy Ghost? Everybody in the book did. Why didn't you find out what holiness meant? Everybody in the book did. Praise God. Everything begins and ends with the Word of God. God, by his word, holds all things together. Jeremy, if they have troubles and struggles in their life, which is a given, which is an automatic, they need to know that Paul wrote to young men in his epistle and said, I write unto you, young men, you are strong. And you have overcome the wicked one because the Word of God abides in you. If you want them to beat, now let me tell you something. You think 2 o'clock in the morning and a crying baby is a pain in the neck. 2 o'clock in the morning and a teenager that's out of control, that's a pain in the neck. This is gravy. This is what the Bible would call a green tree. teenagers is a dry tree. This is easy times. Teenagers is hard time. Now, I'm not being malicious, you understand? But, I mean, you're living this right now. You know. Because you don't know from day to day who you are or what you're going to do or what you're capable of. You're in identity formation. So you don't know who you are, and we don't know who you are. Mark Twain said you should be putting a barrel and the lid nailed down until you come out at 20. But today they've extended adolescence. You'll have to make that 30. But this is easy time when they get to be teenagers. But all through their life, you need to plant that in them that they can be strong, but it's by the word of God. And now's the time to teach them. Whatever you teach them now is what they'll be. Isn't it amazing that if they grow up here, if they grow up in your house, that they'll talk Hueytown? That's a different language altogether. And if they grow up in China, they'll speak Chinese. Same physiological little package. Just whatever the influences are, that's what they'll be. And if they grow up in Romania, they'll speak what they speak in that house. And if they grow up in Greece, and if they grow up in a house where the word of God is, they'll grow up thinking, Jesus fights my battles. Jesus is on my side. God is able to tear down the mountains. I've got something that's bigger than all the obstacles I'm going to face. They'll have a confidence that's bursting out of them by the time they hit their teenage years. And it won't be perfect. Even then, they're still teenagers with the Holy Ghost. I'm terrified to think of them without it. Praise God. You know, you get this word of God in them. Oh, the world drives me nuts. The world drives me nuts. We don't want to live that old stodgy, Christian, biblically oriented, holiness lifestyle. I'm an individual. And I want to be myself. And so I'm going to put a piece of metal through my tongue and one through my eye. Now, there was a time when that would have been pretty extraordinarily individualistic. But not anymore. Where'd you get that idea? Well, I saw the kids doing it. So you're not really an individual. You're just a follower. You're following something. Why you got your pants down to here and your plaid drawers showing out like a glory flag to the whole world? Why you got that? Because I am an individual. No, you just saw some other fool do that, and he got it when he was in prison. They didn't have belts and their pants bagged down. So you're acting like a prisoner before you ever committed a crime. Gee, that's a wonderful career path. What a brilliant thing. Mom, why'd you buy them? Well, that's what all the kids are wearing. Well, you don't know. They pressure me. Gotta have this. I gotta have that. What's a mom gonna do? What's a dad gonna do? What you really need to do is raise them up from that age on the Word of God with the principles and the concepts that the Word of God offers. So when they hit 12 and 13, they're still saying, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Well, praise God. Teach them and tell them there's a God that can overcome the enemy by the power of the word of God. You don't have to be like a morally bankrupt culture around you. Your children are not destined to be that. Your children are destined to be great in the kingdom of God. Your children are destined to do great things and to live great lives and to make a difference in their world. Do that by the word of God. Praise God. Praise God. Anybody in the house glad for the word of God tonight, today? Praise God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Everybody say, the word of God is quick and powerful. That means it's alive or it's life-giving and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We're in Hebrews 4 and 12. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Praise God. I want to suggest to you that the only way you'll ever really know yourself is by an encounter with the Word of God. And the further you get from the Word, the less you'll know about yourself. And it's freaky and scary when you come into contact with yourself by the Word of God. Oh, that's me. But you can't know yourself any other way. A lifetime of psychoanalysis will not get you any closer to who you are. Because Freud was a fraud. And still is. Three of you think so, but I'm telling you, the guy's a fraud. But the Word of God will help you know yourself. It pierces down into the recesses between the joints and the marrow and down into that place that has not yet been scientifically determined as to its location, your soul and your spirit. Where is that? Does it feel like it's here or down in here? Where is it? The Bible knows where it is. The Word of God gets down in there and can change you at an elemental level and make changes for the good on a basic, essential level, down at the very essence of what you are. You can put band-aids on it. You can dress it up a lot of different ways. But if you really want to change your life and change your attitude and change your relationships, you do it by an encounter with the Word of God. You bury it down. I don't mean you carry one around under your arm or have a dusty one on your nightstand, but you open it up and eat it by a bowl of cornflakes. And you sit down and you take one to lunch with you. And you ride in your car and listen to a little teaching or preaching on your CD player. And before you go to bed at night, you got your face back in it again, because everything begins and ends with the Word of God. And you want an essential change, an elemental change in your life. For those of you who know Him, you want to get better in the kingdom of God. You keep growing. You get better by the Word of God. For those of you that don't have a clue about living for God, the Word of God is where you start. Praise God. I can't get control of my life. I'm out of control. You need the Word of God. I can't handle myself in relationships. The power of that shadow of my past is overshadowing my life now, and the anger and the frustration and the hurt that I felt as a child keeps breaking out on my current relationships, and I ruin every relationship I have, and I'm poisoning the children that are in my home by my own attitudes and by my own insecurities, and I can't get free from it, and I've been to the shrink, and I've taken the antidepressants, and I'm not any better. Can I suggest to you that the Word of God can change you on an elemental level, down at the basic beginnings of life? Well, praise God. It'll change your attitude. It'll change the way you behave with other people. You've been shrinking away from relationships. I'll tell you, the Word of God will make you healthy in your relationships. If you'll hear it and you'll do it, well, praise God. Ephesians chapter 5, the scripture talks about the washing of the water of the Word. Chapter 5, verse 26. I laugh sometimes when people find out that you're a little bit hyper-religious. I mean, you actually do it on Mondays. It's not just a couple of hours on Sunday morning. But you actually live it, and it makes a difference in your home, and you actually participate in the kingdom of God on Tuesdays. It's a shocker. And many times they'll say, they've brainwashed you at that church. Well, here's the dirty secret. They have. And here's the rest of it. I needed my brain washed. I don't know about you, but my brain was in deplorable condition when I brought it to the house of God and I brought it to the kingdom of God. But the writer declares that he'll wash you by the washing, the regeneration of his Word. The Apostle Paul teaches that you need to bring your life to God as a living sacrifice. And he counsels, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have to have your mind changed. You can't just come dress up and sit down in a church and keep the same old sorry attitudes and be right with God. Well, I'm in church. I still hate people, but I'm in church. You can't. This is, watch this, joy unspeakable. I mean, that's what you got to look like. That's what you got to act like. You can't be like, my God, I'm so miserable here with all these hypocrites. And peace that passes all understanding. People look at you on the job and all, and you tell them you're a Christian, they don't want it. They want to be a Hindu. They want to be something else, anything else, but they don't want to be what you are. Because you're miserable and bitter. And you talk a lot about it. Judgmental. Blah. But you need your brain washed and renewing to occur in your mind. That all happens by the word of God. Praise God. These babies, you okay, Jeremy? Doing all right? Okay. You need it? You okay? Okay. These babies are going to need faith. They're going to need faith more than you and I have needed faith. Because their world is nuts. And it's getting more and more like that. And the Antichrist is afoot. And this thing's going to be berserk before we get to the end of it. Now, I know we try to dress up the nursery and surround them in frilly things. And your world is perfect. Your world won't hurt you. You're okay. You're safe with me. But you don't know that. There might be a Mack truck out there with your name on it. They're going to need faith. And if they're going to have faith, listen to all these babies. You know, they talk across the, have you heard that? One will start cranking up, and the other one will crank up. And I wonder what they're saying. But everybody say, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Where does faith come from? Well, no, if I could see a miracle, if I could encounter God in a miraculous way, if an angel would come to me, then I would have faith. Now, miracles don't instill faith. You don't have to look any further than Israel wandering around in the wilderness, dying with a miracle of a tower of cloud and fire over their head every day. They're drinking miracle water out of a rock. They're eating miracle bread off the ground, and they're still griping and complaining about how bad God is. They don't have any faith. They died because of unbelief, the antithesis of faith. But faith comes by the word of God. They're going to need faith. They're going to need the word of God in their life. And I know in a group this size, there's probably a handful of cynics in the building. There's probably a skeptic or two in the house. And you have been so far divorced from faith that it just sounds like some sort of a childhood story. But I want you to know that even you, bitter and jaded and hurt and offended and wounded and angry at the world, even you, with an encounter with the word of God, can have faith engendered in your spirit. And when faith breaks forth, anything is possible. These babies are going to need faith in their heart, and they're going to get it by an encounter with the word of God. Praise God. Well, I'm about done, and we'll resume with 119 in the Psalms tonight. But there is a little something else that I want to talk to you about. They need to know this. Jeremy, this is important. Deuteronomy 28 is a long chapter of Scripture, 68 verses. The first third or less of this chapter, verses 1 through 14, are all about the blessings of God in obedience to the word of God. Deuteronomy 28 and 1, it'll come to pass that if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And he begins to enumerate all the blessings. Your children are going to be blessed. Your lives are going to be blessed. Your storehouse will be blessed. Good things are going to come to you. But beginning in verse 15, but it will come to pass that if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God to observe all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake you. And from 15 to 68, which is a far greater portion of this passage, the curses are mentioned. I'll tell you, Jeremy and Danita, the difference between blessing and cursing in their life, between good and evil in their life, on a daily basis in their home and in their family, is going to be the word of God. There's a promise here. Obedience brings blessing, and disobedience just naturally brings a curse. Everybody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, what I want you to do is I want you to bring them down to the altar, if you would. And that means all the family comes with them. Everybody that wants to be associated with them. Praise God. While they're coming, I'd like us all over the house right now, from those who don't know anything at all about God to those that have been living for God faithfully for a long time, I'd like for you to just lift up your hands and just talk to God a little bit and talk to him about, God, help me to know, to learn, to understand, and to obey your word. God, help me to come under the power of your word. Would you pray that right now all over the house? It's a good prayer. And you can just say it your own way. But God, I need you to help me to walk under the sway, the power, the authority of your word today. I want you to help me in my home and in my family. I want you to help me, oh God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. These are some beautiful children you got here. Think so? Yep, they are. I'm partial to little girls. Boys stink, but little girls are... That's the truth. Got a passage here that they usually read to preachers. If you've ever been to an ordination service, this is what they read for that. But I'm going to ordain you to be parents today, okay? You ready? See, we got these Bibles for them, but as much as JC will like this, and as much as you think she's a genius already, she can't read this yet. And so the charge is going to fall on you. You're going to be the one that determines what kind of a start they get in the Word of God. And if you don't do this right, they will all their lives, even if they live for God successfully, they will always live under the shadow of your failures. If they live to be 50 and God tarries, they will hear your voice for good or for bad. It's incredible. It's incredible the power for good you have. But with power to do good, everything in life swings the other way. You have power to do hurt. With the access to do good comes power to do hurt. So you've been invested with great power. And nobody can make a decision but you. What will you do with what God's put in your hands? Well, here's a charge that they usually give preachers. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. Who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom? Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. That just means be ready, always. Have a word. Preach the word. You know what, Jeremy? this bald-headed preacher, I'll just tell you, I'm going to tell you, I will never be able to raise her up beyond your influence in her life if you're coming to church. Now, if I find a kid out on the street, mom and dad are not in church, and they've long since lost that influence, sky's the limit. Church can do almost anything with them. But if you're an intact family, she's still under your authority, I'll never be able to lift her up above your influence. You've got great power. All I am is a facilitator. I'm here to help you be in her life what God's called you to be. Everybody say, preach the word. I'm calling Jeremy to be a preacher. Cousins. Exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Rebuke. Are you ready to rebuke them? If you don't rebuke them now, they're going to jack your jaw when they're 17. They're going to break your heart and cut your heart out. This is torture. I'm upsetting the baby and the daddy here. I'm going to let her get settled here. She's going to see grandma. Okay. Jeremy, you know how you don't like to rebuke him right now? I don't like to rebuke him. But the word of God says rebuke them. Reprove them. There's a law in the spirit. If you can't be rebuked, you can't be saved. So you're training them up. Right now, you're training them for their future relationship with God. And God's going to rebuke them at some point. And they have to be able to say, oh, yeah, I know how this works. It's my dad did that. And my dad loved me and did it with love and kindness. And so now God's doing that. And I can respond to that. So your charge is to rebuke them. Be a good disciplinarian in their life. Raise them up the way they need to go. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That's talking about the world that we live in. They'll turn their ears away from truth and be turned to fables. But you have the power through your teaching and your rebuke and your reproof. You have the power to give them the equipment that in the middle of a generation that's turned its back on God and gone nuts, you have the power to create in them the capacity to live for God. It's an amazing thing that God's given you. He's put in your hands the destiny of two souls. And if you have seven, it'll be seven souls. Isn't that an incredible thing? Your guidebook for this responsibility and the thing that they most need in their spirit is this word. And I have one for each of them, and their names are on them. And I don't know when they're going to start reading, but long before they start reading, they need to know what the Word of God says. They need to know how to sing, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. They need to know when you take them outside, you're standing on a balcony with them there, Jeremy, they need to know, God put those stars up there. And God, with all that power, is my friend and watches over me. What an incredible God. What an awesome God. And they can know that by the time they're just little children. Praise God. You do it by the word of God. Now, here's the deal. Are you up to the job? Do you want to do this? Jeremy, we can't charge the children, so we're going to charge you instead. You up for it? You want to do it? You want to pledge? I mean, you're standing in front of a lot of witnesses, your family, God, and all the angels, and you're saying, I'm going to do it. All right. Good man. You're going to be a mom for these kids. They're going to know how to pray because their mom's a prayer warrior. Be faithful to the house of God because their mom's faithful to the house of God. Know the word of God because you put it in them. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Your shadow is going to cover them all their life, Jeremy. Your influence. Church, let's stand together. And let's pray for this family and pray for these babies. Praise God. Mighty God, we love you and give you all praise and thanks. I pray for Jeremy and Danita now, and I pray for these babies. I pray your hand of blessing and strength upon them, that the word of God will be mighty in this house. I pray that your hand would be upon them for wisdom and understanding. Give Jeremy the wisdom and knowledge and understanding he needs for his family, for his wife and his children. Prosper them, O God, according to your word. Open up the window of heaven above them and pour out the great blessing. Rebuke the devourer for their sake, O God. Cause them to be blessed in relationship and in body and in spirit. And I pray you'd use them, lay your hand upon them, cause them to bring you glory in everything that they do. I pray for these children today, the blessing and the anointing and the strength of God. I pray for you, Sister Danita, that God will touch you and give you everything you need to be a godly mom, to lead them in all the ways of God. I pray for you in that, in Jesus' name. Jeremy, God's hand upon you for strength, for blessing, and for wisdom, and for mercy, and for understanding. In the name above every name, praise God. Let's give the Lord praise and thanks, church, and let's bless his name. Praise God. I want all these grandmas and aunties and whoever, I want you to lay your hands on them if you would. And let's pray one more time. All over the church, extend your hand toward them. Let's pray blessing and goodness and strength on them right now. In the name of Jesus, by the word of the living God, God's blessing, God's goodness, God's strength upon this family, God's anointing, let the name of Jesus be magnified in them. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, let's give God praise and thanks for it. Let's bless his name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Now, just for a moment, I want to open this altar. If you're in this house and you haven't been obedient to the word of God, I want you to come down and begin to talk to God about it. He's got mercy for you, but you need to come and do business with him. If you've never known God, but you'd like to know him by the power of your word, if you'd like to have your family transformed by the power of the word of God, you need your mind changed by his word, I want to invite you to come down to the altar this morning and just talk to God and do business with God. God, I need you to plant your word in my heart. I need you to plant your word in my family. Mighty God, I need you to move on my life today. Praise God, all over the house. Let's pray. Hallelujah. 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 I want to do business with you by your word, oh God. I want your hand on my relationships, on my family, on my children. I need you, oh God, I need you. Direct me, order my steps. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Teach me your ways. Lead me in your precepts. Cause me to love your rule, your law, your statutes, oh God. In the name above every name, in the name above every glory, 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 glory to God. I magnify. Hallelujah. 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 All over the house. Come on, church. Do the work of the church. Somebody open up the praise. Somebody cause it to cloud up and rain. Holy Ghost in this house. The word of God said, they that believe according to the scripture, out of their belly will flow a river of living water. I believe this young man can receive the Holy Ghost this morning.